Hey guys, before we get started, if you have not yet heard, listen to, subscribe to our new podcast, Happy Brain, I'm gonna tell you, you're missing out. I'm hosting this through the Tiny Leaps Big Changes Network, and it's a show about fun, quirky ways to keep your brain happy. They're short episodes, high energy, and lots of fun. So find Happy Brain wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure you hit that subscribe button. The fight is a part of the growth. That comes from today's guest, Bruce Pulver. If this is your first time listening, what's going on? What's up? My name's Heather Parody. I am your host. Today we're going to be talking about something that I've been mulling over for a minute. Y'all know what mulling over is? I think it's a Southern way of saying I've been thinking about it. What's the difference between excellence versus perfection? How do we get better at something while not beating ourselves up and ultimately not doing what we said we want to do because we're so afraid of judgment, right? Let me set the scene for you before we get started. I went to Atlanta a few weeks ago, connected with my friend Bruce, his amazing wife Bridget, had my little girl with me. So Bridget took Lucy off and they played together with the cat. And Bruce and I had this really cool conversation where we talked about excellence versus perfection, knowing that we're enough, making time for creativity while having a job, raising a family. But let me tell you who Bruce is real fast. He's a sales executive who has earned multiple sales performance awards and driven over $100 million in new sales during his career. However, after what he calls a BAM moment, he knew that something was calling him to write his best-selling book, Above the Chatter, Our Words Matter. Since then, he delivered an awesome TEDx talk, which reached almost 250,000 views as of this recording. I could go on and on about how much he's blessed my life. He's a super positive force in this world, and it was fun connecting with him. All of his links are in the show notes, but I just want you to picture us having this really serious conversation with Lucy chasing his cat all around the house. That's okay. You ready, y'all? You ready? Excellence versus perfection and knowing you are enough. The person that we're talking to right now, when you hear that description, unconventional leader, ambitious, creative, old soul, kind of rocky, rough path, all the things that I kind of shared with you, what kind of naturally comes up for you when you hear that?
Thank you.
Really?
For being that person, for being brave enough to step into that and know that this is all, maybe this is what I'm designed to do. Because I think working in my career, I worked a lot to try to fit into molds. There were certain things I had to do to check that box and reach that level, you know, because I have an artistic background, but I chose at one point to then take that corporate world, which I struggle with, continue. I still do. I fit, but I had to find my fit as opposed to the guy or gal specifically structured for this role to be a salesperson, to be a project manager, to be a product marketing person that kind of has a project plan and all those kinds of things. I struggle with that. I see things as, well, maybe we could. I think it's a bit of my background that was arts oriented as a musician. You know, the joke about jazz musicians is jazz musicians never play the same song the same way once.
Really?
Right, not twice, once. So I was sort of raised in that environment. My father was a musician, but in business as well. But I really gravitated to that side of how can we interpret this? And in a corporate setting, where a lot of, I know the folks we're talking to, maybe either in that or that, contracting for that, maybe struggling with what they're being asked to do and what would fit creatively something. And I could see where that's hard because you're true. I would say you got to stay true to that. What you're good at, because that's what you're good at. And that's that's why, with my faith-based background, we are all here uniquely defined, created to be who we are, not to fit in that other.
I would say most people listening to this have a regular 9-to-5 and they're kind of doing their creative pursuits on the side or whatever. And sometimes, especially when you start raising a young family and trying to be a grown up and figure it all out and everything, I think there's sometimes a burden or a weight, but kind of like, okay, well, God gave me these gifts over here. And what are they really here for? Does it matter that I'm a painter or a writer or whatever? And maybe people don't have a desire to monetize it or whatever. But, you know, looking back over your life, you had the skill of writing, you have a skill of being a musician, you have a skill of words. That's what you're sharing with the world right now. How did you kind of find your, I guess, purpose in that while you were raising two awesome girls, having a wife, like building the family and the life that you have now?
Well, for me, it happened with what I call a BAM moment.
A what?
A BAM moment.
A BAM.
B-A-M. That's when things are going along okay, right? And you're growing that, you're working on the family, you're whatever those things are that are important to you. And then all of a sudden, and you know, you've got some funding, you got some a job, you got whatever those things are. For me, it was a major layoff in a job. Mm. I was let go, myself and 500 people from this career.
500 people.
On the same day.
Yeah.
And
how many years had he been doing that?
25.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Same company?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So what happens then, right? That means everything that happened before then and everything that's happening that moment on has changed. Bam. So what did that do? So that was a blessing for me. It was an assignment. It hurt like you can't imagine because it hit every part of my being, right? You're kidding me. There were 1,000 people's names on this board and you erased 500 of them that were staying and mine stayed. 25 years. You kind of think about performance. You think about award. You think about the things that you did to be successful in that role, raising a family. Yeah, that drive home was awful.
How old were your girls at this point?
Middle school. That's when something happened, I would say at that time, to me, but long term, it happened for me.
And you didn't think that then, did you?
No way. It was impossible because
right.
Then it's all the things, right? It doesn't matter whether it's a mortgage or if it's this. I mean, it could be an electric bill. It could be, can I pay my rent? It could be, I made a commitment to a relationship that has a financial aspect. And that was one, as a guy, that was one huge part, right? So I was sort of not forced, but all of a sudden that next day, my father's love of words, which was part of my background, and my mother, who was incredibly grateful because of a major medical trauma that she had on the day I was born, those two things forged as one in me. That became my next. I didn't know it at the time, but that's when I started writing. I just started writing.
You didn't write before then?
No. I mean, nothing like what I was doing now.
Really?
I did music reviews and I did, you know, some creative writing and stuff like that, but nothing that was something that I was going to pursue. I guess where I'm going with this, and you kind of talk about the gifts, is it was dormant. Mm. Where a lot of, I think, the folks we're talking to, it's there. It's active.
Right.
Try to make it fit in. So let's just maybe fast forward a little bit because I began writing and sharing and continue to write. Ultimately, it was a journal and then it ended up becoming a book. But getting to your point there, give me a second here. I'll loop back around. What I realized was that was something that was so much a gift to me that I had an assignment to do something with it. Not solo, not by itself and cut everything else off because it was such a gift that I needed to figure out how I could bring it to the universe in a way that served it right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just, hey, now quit your job, go do a book and, you know, go on a book tour. And, you know, that was not, the assignment was write this stuff down, share it. You had something impact your life. Take that gift, which I call God installed features to share, G-I-F-T-S, and put it in a place where it gives first. And because my dad used to tell me the only time that get should come before give is in the dictionary.
Mm.
So give.
Yeah.
And that's sort of how, and I'm trying to answer the question, and it's kind of a long-winded way of doing it.
Yeah.
But it came through an event in my life that let me see, hey, there's more to this than just getting a quota, going out and making filling relationships, learn your product,
right,
and sell it, which was really what my role was.
How do you know something is an assignment? You said it was an assignment.
Because I was passionate to do it every day.
Every day.
Every day. 420 consecutive mornings, I was woke up and there was a word in my download to write down.
So you think it was like downloaded to you?
Yes.
For sure.
100%. I mean, my faith has told me that because not just then, that's where the assignment came. Write this stuff down, Bruce. Okay. Now write a book. Now, wait a minute. Last people that thought I would write a book were my English teachers. What do you mean write a book? Just write a book. Listen to me. Write a book.
Have you ever heard anything like that tangible before?
Oh.
Really? Mm-hmm. Not even with the music?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
No. Then it was, okay, now get it published and now give it away.
Give it away.
Give it away. Like, wait a minute.
Work hard on something and give it away.
Right. So the giveaway was every time that I'm booked to speak or anytime books are purchased, the mission is we give a book to someplace, whether it's a hospital, homeless shelter. You know, you and I have talked a little bit about that.
How do you detach from the outcome of that, because I know sometimes there's things laid on my heart to do and I have a lot of vision for stuff, but then my mind automatically goes to how can I make this big and awesome and all of that, and detaching from an outcome and wanting to force something. I struggle with that.
So do I. Yeah, so do I. It's like, why can't someone just buy like a million books? And you know, it's like, come on.
It's not that hard.
But, you know, I guess, and you know, I just remember like a dad's work ethic. It's like, don't expect anything for not doing anything. Give first. Mm-hmm. I mean, we come to our concerts and record the concerts. Like, Dad, what are you doing?
You were close to your dad?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he still alive?
He's not.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but he's here. But every day, it's like, okay, Dad, I know you're here. But it was just... You know, I was very, very fortunate, right? And I
yeah.
realized this.
Yeah.
I think I've evolved to the fact that I had two parents that really loved us. And my mom, whose surgery when I was born was a miracle, mm-hmm. and was grateful for every day. And Dad, who was a silent patient, but had this compassion and love of words and writing and the language, et cetera. And what I realized later on is I started doing a lot of keynotes and speaking. I realized that mine was not a story of having a big setback mm-hmm. that then I got the fortitude to overcome it. So mm-hmm. I didn't have this upbringing that was atrocious. I had mm-hmm. probably the best I could want. But what I learned was they were taken from me, but then they were given back to me with this gift of writing. And so now every day it's like there's something in whatever word I write that I just plug back into. Okay, that's a mom thing.
Really?
Or that's a dad thing, right?
Do you think there are like spirits on it?
Say again?
Do you think their spirit is on it?
Oh, yeah.
That's so interesting.
I really do.
Yeah.
I mean...
I believe in all that.
They're not here.
Yeah.
And they didn't meet Peyton and Emily. And...
They didn't get to meet them?
Neither of them. No.
Really?
No. So, yeah. So,
wow.
I mean, he, you know, Dad died at 66 and he had Alzheimer's at the end. So it was a 10-year battle.
Of wow.
losing it, right? The mom passed just very suddenly when her heart just stopped at 52 years old.
What did you learn from your parents that you think you carry on now?
Gratitude. It's really important to be appreciative of the things that you do have. Because from a place of gratitude, I truly believe that you can only have an outlook that gives some optimism
mm-hmm.
and just some thankfulness. And, you know, to me, I talked about it in my TED talk. There was one day was the word awesome that I wrote. A wonderful experience shall overwhelm my expectations. AWESOM, right? E. I think it was the 5 green lights I caught in a row to get to the grocery store, and 3 of them were left-hand turns. I was just trying to find something out of which I could be grateful. And that's what I think I took from them. Because it was, you know, they supported me in everything that I did, whether it was baseball or then in music, but there was never the push. But, you know, it was... You know, Dad would play catch with me the minute he got out of his car from coming home from work.
Yeah.
You know, and would support the drumming and help me with technique and working through stuff. And I was very fortunate to have that. And that doesn't get lost on me because a lot of folks don't. However,
yeah.
out of that trying time that someone may be going through, I try to look at it this way. Because for me, it was a job loss, right? From that, I've learned so much that if I hear of a layoff and it's someone that I know, I'm just called. To call them or be there when they call me. Mm-hmm. So as we go through these struggles and challenges and opportunities, I'm looking at upside and downside, right? We have the learning opportunity to say, how can I share that when the next person that walks by me is in that same situation?
You're still in sales now.
Yes.
How has getting back into writing kind of shifted your perspective now? Or has it?
It's really a part of me that is me. I can't separate it anymore. And that's the other thing too. You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, the folks that we're chatting to here mm-hmm. as we speak with each other may have that corporate job, or they may be a subcontractor to mm-hmm. a corporation, but what they really want to do is this other thing. If you can think through that as not being an either or and using one as a means to an end,
yeah.
if you can't drive your creativity that you want, just give enough of it so that it can support where you really can let go
yeah.
and get deep into what that is and what that means. Because if you're able to do that and you have gratitude in that, I believe your creative gift shines more.
How do you balance that with also having a family?
Well, it's an interesting question because...
It's one I'm thinking through.
I don't...
It's hard.
It is. It's hard.
It's very hard.
Well, let's step back from that a minute because... And this isn't me, but I've taken this in some of my reading and some of
yeah.
how I've tried to do this.
Yeah.
There are times when... you have to be out of balance.
Yeah.
Something has to be a higher priority in a project, and other things take a back seat a bit. To me, and I would never say, you know, your kids don't matter. No, I don't mean it that way. Or your spouse or whoever you're in a relationship with. But my point is that one of the key factors to me of being able to manage that is communication.
Yeah.
You know, hey, honey, this next 2 weeks is really about X. It's about a financial opportunity. It's about, you know, a fitness pursuit. It's about a faith-based, you know, pursuit or something along those lines. We need to put time there for the next 2 weeks. So it may take a little bit more of than to think everything needs to have an equal amount of contribution. So to me, balance is like if you balance on a surfboard or what are those called where you're not really
paddleboard?
A paddleboard. You're certainly not even the whole time. Your legs are going up and down. The tide's moving you a little bit. You're working to have some sort of an equilibrium that may be a different word than using the word balance. Perfection is so dangerous. The pursuit of being perfect is incredibly dangerous because it's unattainable. Mozart, maybe.
Yeah. Depends who you ask.
Right. So pursuit of excellence in what we do, I would say maybe move the dial a bit and start thinking about whatever you do, do your best to be excellent at it.
Yeah.
Because perfection will drive me insane trying to achieve it.
How do you see the difference between excellence and perfection? I really struggle with that because I grew up in church and that was one thing that they were just drilled into. Excellence, excellence, everything is easy to excellence. And I literally started thinking at one point, I'm like, what's the difference between this and perfection? Because it was so much weight, you know?
So the weight of being excellent is higher than the weight of perfection?
It felt very similar to me. And I did. Okay. How do you just differentiate those two?
Did I put forward my best effort at the time with the energy that I had and the other things that were going on?
Is that enough?
It's got to be.
Yeah.
It's not because why? Because, I mean, I'll write something and I'll look at it and I'll go, let's come back to that. As opposed to, oh man, I got to get it perfect. I got to get it right now. I just think that, and that may sound like it's a lower standard. It's really not. I just think, I mean, you know, let's look at sports. Look at someone that plays golf. If it was perfect, you know, you would be one under par on every hole. You would be one or two strokes less than what the scorecard says for perfect.
Yeah.
No one's ever played a perfect round of golf so that every second shot went in the hole. You know, it's, you know, music. I have so many really dear friends that are musicians, and I'm sure there's some that are listening here. And the true musicians that I know, and I've been blessed to be around some amazing ones, I'll listen to them play and it's just beauty to my ears. And I'll talk to them after. I'll say, man, you know, the way you played those changes over, you know, whatever, were incredible. And they'll say, you know, I'm working on it. And I'll go, that's dude, it. Just know that you touched my soul with what you did tonight. Put that wherever that needs to go in your cookie jar or wherever that you impacted someone's life. Yes, you're pursuing to be the best at it that you can. To me, that's excellence. Perfection is never making a mistake. And how do you learn if you don't make a mistake?
I think it goes back to what you shared before we hit record with, you had a word acronym come up for you that was like, you are enough for our audience. And I think there is a level of enoughness. Where is my best good enough? Because you compare yourself to other people, you know, all of your shortcomings, you know, where you come from. And I know one thing I've struggled with and I've talked about on the show so much is just inadequacy. Maybe you didn't have a lot of affirmation. Maybe you didn't have like a lot of stability. And so, I believe you find that through God and you have foundation there. Finding a sense of enoughness within yourself that this is excellent for me, even though I feel like it might not be excellent the way I want it to be excellent. Does that make sense?
That's okay.
Yeah.
Because if there's no gap, there's no more work left to do.
Yeah. That can be discouraging though.
Well, let's say you reach it. Are you done?
Yeah.
Close the gap to zero. Is there the next? So, I don't know. I mean, in the moment, the best you can do, and you're good with that. What I try to tell my daughters, especially my—
I love when you talk about your girls. It's awesome.
Especially both of them. One played volleyball in high school, and the other played soccer in high school and is now playing in college. And there's a lot of that pressure, right? There's a lot of all of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this applies outside, but just from a dad's perspective, there's two things I would say to Emily. One is on the discipline side, it would be the easier you make it on me, the easier it is on you. That's just, we won't go there. That's another conversation. But the other is truly, and I don't mean this to be selfish or to be cocky or arrogant in any way, But what other people think of you is really none of your business.
That's hard, though.
It is so hard.
I agree with you, but that's so hard.
And so how do you get, so let's not talk about this theoretical stuff.
Yeah.
How do you maybe start getting, you got to be okay with you one step at a time. So how do you do that? How do you build some self-confidence in yourself that it does matter, but it doesn't fully define you? You talked about validating.
Yeah.
Is it enough for someone else? Right?
Yeah.
And I'm not an ex, so I'm a mouse in my own lab. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So this is not like Bruce telling you.
I get it.
Son. There's no switch.
Sure. Around. Sure.
But I just finished the program called 75 Hard.
Yeah, you did. You did a lot, don't you?
I did all three phases.
It's amazing.
And the way that I focused on that, I did have a fail in one of the sections. You have to go back to day one, but was to do the following, and it helps build self-confidence. To make and keep small promises to yourself.
Okay.
To do something or to not do something. To start something or to stop something. Or to move faster in a certain direction or to slow down. I'm going to slow down because sometimes to speed up, I have to slow down.
Mm.
But the key to this whole thing that I'm trying to apply is to make and keep that promise to myself. So maybe it's learning a new skill that will help me take that creative side another step, or maybe professionally it's, I want to be able to communicate a little bit better with those in my circle that I'm serving as a corporate artist. I'm unable to really have that conversation. I always walk out of there feeling like, they just don't get me. Darn it. I'm really frustrated.
Yeah.
Well, what can I learn to help me flip that a little bit and figure out how to have that conversation? How can I meet that person where they are? Well, maybe I'll promise to myself that I'll maybe watch a YouTube clip about, you know, communication in corporate America. What are some keys? So it's taking an incremental step at something and promising yourself and delivering it. Because the more times you meet the promise, you keep the promise for yourself.
Yeah.
The more value to yourself you're defining. Because yeah. if you don't, then you're telling yourself you don't matter to yourself.
Hmm.
So balance, equilibrium, being okay with the level that you're performing at today, but knowing you want to get better, closing that gap, still having a gap to go for, I think is formulated a lot by keeping those promises. So our youngest, who's in college right now, is working out like crazy this summer, not because she's going to play every match in the fall.
Right.
She wants to be in the best shape she can be the day they show up at camp. The rest will take care of itself. There's still a gap. Making and keeping small promises to yourself.
Where do you personally find your security piece that everything's going to be okay?
My faith.
Tell me more.
So probably 6 months ago, I just needed clarity. I mean, I'm writing, doing all the things to do. I mean, I want my creative side to take off, right? This isn't just
trying
to be corporate America sales guy.
Sure.
This is the next book.
Sure.
This is keynotes. This is creativity. This is
helping.
I mean, why am I here, right? Help people reach their potential. That's buried inside them. How do I help pull that out? Well, there's a creative aspect. There's newness to that, right? And I was struggling. It's like, is this going to happen? Like, well, am I doing the right things? And I just prayed for clarity. Like, stop trying to make it happen, Bruce, and let it happen. Like, get out of the driver's seat. And so what I've done, and this is just Bruce, I've found where that spiritual side can be tended to and grown and nurtured. And be around like-minded circle who are in the
same.
It's
important.
It's stronger now than ever.
Your faith.
Yeah. But let's back up a bunch of years ago when my mom had it about dissecting aortic aneurysm during labor and should have died.
Yeah.
We should not be having this conversation. 18 pints of blood she needed, 16 of them came from members of her church. There were two surgeons who had just perfected aortic valve replacement in Tulane University, who just happened to be at Yale New Haven Medical Center teaching aortic valve replacement. They came over.
It's nuts.
There was no imaging. They measured. They thought they knew where they needed to go to fix the tear. They had one shot at opening her up and found it in the exact spot they needed. She fought. She didn't give up. 60 days, she didn't see me. She had 4 surgeries. So that's Bruce saying, I know it's going to be okay, but I didn't know it was going to be okay, and I didn't believe it was going to be okay when I had my BAM. It's like,
yeah.
Wait a minute. This isn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But it was also helped me develop more gratitude around, wait, it's not over.
Yeah.
And plug in and, like I said, forge the upbringing from my parents. So You know, I've searched a lot for that with what is the purpose of this assignment, to write this down, to write the book, to give it away. Now to do it. Now audition for a TED Talk. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people that do that, they know what they're doing. They like polish. They
And yours blew up.
And mine blew up on me. What am I going to talk?
Yeah.
I didn't have a traumatic thing. We worked on it, and it mindset became kind of my mission, right?
Mm.
How do you take a situation and make the most of it? Well, go back to day one. How did my mom take really, really bad situation? So I don't know if that helps answer that question.
Yeah.
But my faith says it is that there's something bigger than me here.
Yeah, there is.
And when I find myself my most peaceful and most everything will be okay and just keep moving is when I'm in that close feeling, whether it's morning time or wherever I find my time to just be thankful for another day and to ask to put me where I can impact that one person and I can be that person that you intended me to be.
That's it. I have one question left for you. But before then, where can people connect with you online? They want to grab your book. They want to watch your TED Talk. What do they do?
Yeah. So the best way for the book is above the chatter, ourwordsmatter.com.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon, it's all available there. But one of the things I do like to do, Heather, and I do, is whenever a book is bought from my website, I sign it. And if there's a team that someone wants to buy them for, I try to find something out about the people on the team so that, you know, it's Ellen. You know, this book is from so-and-so, and this is what they really appreciate. Something I try to make it personal.
That's cool.
But even if not, you know, Amazon's fine. Above the chatter, ourwordsmatter.com. You can just YouTube or type my name in, Bruce Pulver, on YouTube. And, you know, that's not a common name, so it pops up at the top. And what a blessing. I mean, I had no idea.
It's cool.
I had no idea. And, you know, 200,000 people have watched this TED Talk. And
that's cool.
I'm insanely humbled.
But and it's not over either. It's not over.
Is being reached. No, there's so much more. Perfection is something I hope I never achieve because I'll keep being pushed towards excellence. And if that's the case, then I can keep contributing.
That's a great way to look at it. It was funny on the way here. I have acting class after this and I'm taking Lucy and she goes, "Well, mommy, don't you already know how to act?" And I was like, because she thinks, you know, you do one thing, you've learned that. So I was having that conversation with her on the way here. I was like, there's nothing that you ever really fully know. Right? Yes. Very few things. Yes. You're always learning. She's like, whoa.
Yes.
Did you have a word you wanted to share with everyone?
This. Yeah. Because we were talking about getting together, you know, and thank you. This has been
I was so fun.
To do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about it. We had talked about, you know, are we enough? And I'll share that one if that's okay.
Please do.
So I just wrote it. I didn't write the word enough like you'd spell it. I just wrote it like it sounds.
Unconventional.
UrEnuf. You are enough. What does that mean? The you, for me, means you're uniquely gifted by God. We all have gifts. God installed features to share. Plug into that because there are responsibility. The world needs them. That'd be the you. The R, resourceful. Just let go of your nose.
Mm.
Not your nose at the end of your face, but your N-O apostrophe S. You're resourceful. You are, right? You know how to do stuff. You may not know how to do everything, but build on what you have done, and you make that your asset. The E is equipped with all you need. God pumps us out with everything we need.
Yeah.
And even if we have limitations, or maybe the world thinks, or maybe we perceive things differently, or maybe we don't have a skill that someone else has, that doesn't mean that we're deficient. It means we have exactly what we need. So equipped with all you need is the E. The N is no doubts except your own. Really.
That's it.
I mean, and I've
That's
lived
it.
Through that by the drumming stuff we talked about, the music, the corporate America where I did things my own way. You know, I had doubts. I still do. And I think doubts are okay because plowing through them is how we grow. So that would be the end. The you is unstoppable except by you.
Amen.
So those two kind of go together. And that's okay, right?
Yeah.
The fight is part of the growth because it's not going to be easy. And no one promised it would be easy, but God did promise it would be worth it. And then the F is fully capable of reaching your greatness.
Hey y'all, before we jet out of here, if you are looking to build a course or a membership site, build in some online income so you can fund your creative work, you know, bring in a little extra monies. One of my favorite platforms, I'm not gonna lie to you, it's my favorite platform, is Kajabi. Almost everybody I work with, I somehow convinced to get onto Kajabi. I personally use it. It's an all-in-one platform for not only your email list, but also hosting your courses, your membership sites, and pretty much whatever you wanna do.
You can do it on Kajabi.
To start your free trial, all you have to do is go to heatherparody.com/Kajabi. That is linked in the show notes. And start your trial for 14 days. I mean, technically, you could build a product, sell the product within 2 weeks, and it pays for itself. No sweat. Again, that is heatherparody.com/Kajabi.